Reverend Richard Emanuel is here to talk about how the end of the Mayan calendar in 2012 has come and gone and what's in store for our LGBT community in 2013. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Charlotte. It's always good to talk with you.
In 2009, we talked to you about the dire predictions of 2012. Well, you were correct. The world didn't end. What exactly did happen?
Well, Charlotte, perhaps we have to look at it as an event plane. Everyone thinks it's like shutting off a light switch, that one age goes into another. It doesn't. It's a process of time events that become significant in terms of human consciousness. If we look at the fact that today in the world we have five great faiths, and then we have to look at it as one human community, we are looking at the challenges that those faiths or those beliefs have in our daily living. The LGBT issues are about what is human dignity about? What is the collective human community all about? So perhaps at no other time in history, save perhaps 2,000 years ago with the collapse of the ancient religions being replaced by a new cult called the Way, which became a process of naming themselves Christians, that the understanding of how one group plants another group and how that consciousness starts to dictate where and what has happened. We then have to look at this as a concept of the belief in God. So in a sense, in 2012, the end of 2012, our Western beliefs, especially amongst the three Western religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, came into a full consciousness of trying to end the story. And the story didn't end. The story goes on, but each group is trying to bring down the house, so to speak. And I think when we had that interview in 2009, that was how I approached this, that we were going into a new awakening. And so in a real sense, in our society, the concept or the belief in God becomes irrelevant, and it's replaced by secular matters of control.
What do you mean that the belief in God became irrelevant?
Well, by that I mean the word God contains no information. It's a word that has the connotation of the greatest concept that we as human beings have created. We give it the idea of a creator, the idea that this concept made everything, this is what it's about, so this is where the story begins. So in a age where everyone's trying to bring about an ending to the story, it's not about the envisioning of a new concept of God, it's more about trying to shore up the failing religions, especially in the West. And this is where so much dysfunctionality comes in. We have to look at humankind, and we have to look at, wait a minute, what is this Western religions in this larger picture? What are they trying to do? What are the people in various beliefs, whether they're representative of conservative, liberal, or radical groups of the, different kinds of beliefs, what is this doing? Where are we going with the amalgam of these three Western faiths that comprise Western religion?
You say no one came to save humankind. What does that tell us about Western religion?
Well, no one showed up to shut the lights off, and that's what I thought was going to happen, that the lights weren't going to go off. This is the dilemma. This is what happened to it. A date was given in the belief of an apocalyptic event in which humankind was going to go extinct, or that the world was going to end, and it didn't happen. So okay, where we go now? I mean, do we hope another apocalypse comes? Well, there is no hope, and we got to get over it and get on with the task of living, becoming more conscious as to our own responsibility. Remember the Obama campaign, the first one? The word was hope. Now, that's not a political word. That's a religious word. That's the words of a minister, but not a person who is going to basically be the dynamics of a civilization in terms of its politics and its governance. So that was a real warning sign to me. And I think with this 2012 thing, I think we witnessed the end of the age of hope. I think we're now having to really sober up, really look at, wait a minute, what are we doing? And what do we really need?
Your words, there is no hope, you know, get over it. Can you personally ask people to believe in that? I mean, can people live without hope?
Well, I think that's kind of an addiction. I think it's kind of a flashback to what Marx and Engels talked about in terms of in the 19th century as to capitalism and in terms of belief. His statement was, religion is the opiate of the masses. It's the means to put people to sleep. It's a means for them not to think about their being and what they are. It's a drug. And if we look at the human being and its development, there's certainly the foundation that our species has a propensity to enter into altered states. And so when you think about it, the idea of hope, hoping for a reality that's not here, that's a drug. That's a misuse of the process of understanding. So again, organized religions have a tendency to put people to sleep. Charlotte, as another example, let's look at the passing of the wonderful person Gore Vidal, a great person in terms of understanding history, the narrative of how things work. He was liberated in terms of his own identity, in terms of his own sexuality, and he basically set an example. Despite all of the criticism, all of the harangue, he walked through it, and he was himself. What is important here, just before he died, a couple of months before he died, I saw an interview in which the interviewer asked him about humanity and knowing Gore's process of history and the understanding of human activity. He said, Gore, what is the greatest mistake humanity has made? And without hesitation, Gore Vidal said one word, monotheism. And out of that, you can understand, if you trace this, that monotheism is the mechanism to describe one way or the highway, my way or no way. And that is the problem of the issues of human sexuality. Let's look at how we label one another. The idea, when Gore Vidal said monotheism, it is a word that allows for the concept of authoritarian dictate. And so this is where we all start to define ourselves. This is gay, this is lesbian, this is transsexual, this is straight. Well, back 2,000 years ago in the Greco-Roman period, do you realize there was no word for homosexual? People were just sensual. People just used their sensuality and their sexuality to become who they are. And there was no guilt. And this is where these LGBT issues are constantly being made to feel guilty about their own thought process. And we have to look at what the three Western states are doing to us, and why are we so sexually dysfunctional in our culture?
What do you mean by sexually dysfunctional?
All right, let's look at just the physiological structure of the human being. we look at this process, we're looking at a concept of duality. It's not only, you know, black and white, but it's also a number of infinite shades of gray and mixing from black into white, white into black. It's a process of discovery. And why do we make this process of sexual discovery a guilt trip? That's what sexual dysfunction is. Sexually dysfunctional societies are societies that have not integrated their physicality with their spirituality and then come up with a concept of transcendence beyond this guilt stuff. And why do we create guilt? It's to control other people. It's not to liberate them. It's to make them fall in line.
So how does this explain homosexuality?
Well, remember, the word homosexuality did not exist 2,000 years ago in the Greek and the Greco-Roman culture. It was a word made up later in the first 100 years of the Christian movement into the second 100 years. And then what happens is this becomes a defining way to basically overthrow the religions that came before Christianity and replace the sky goddess, the sky priestess. The original stories are it wasn't a male god that created this. It was a sky goddess who gives birth to all this. It's not that it was created. She birthed it. And so we have to look at this as an important mechanism to create guilt and then to overthrow those religions that have priestesses so that it's supplanted by a male priesthood. And that this is where women's suffrage begins, is because the priestesses were overthrown by a very jaded group of new cult worshippers, and they were Christians. And the Christian philosophy becomes the dominant process by which the Roman Empire is transfigured into a Christian empire, and we get the beginnings of the Holy Roman Church. So if the Roman Empire, in a very real sense, is still around, but with an incredible dysfunctional description as to who the players are, who the persons are. It's very interesting. If we look at the concept of a person from the Greek, it means the one who's behind the mask. Person means mask. And so what you look out the eyes of the mask and you're looking into the eyes of another person, then what happens is, what is going on there? What is the communication? How do we meet? Well, we are sensual beings. And that is part of our spirituality. And then we were made to feel guilty about this? I mean, come on. We got to get past this lie. In one sense, I mean, this is, you know, this is original sin. What did God in the Judeo-Christian Muslim, what did God in the story, how did he know Adam and Eve had fallen by taking of the apple? They were hiding. And God asked them, wait a minute, where are you guys? Adam, where are you? And Adam has to speak up. He said, we hid ourselves because we were naked. And then immediately you go, oop, nakedness, self-consciousness, genitalia. Oh, my gosh. You know, and then we get into this whole thing, okay, what are we going to do with this stuff? Remember, this is a process of the development of human consciousness, and we got to get back to what the real story is and stop all this baby talk, all of this stuff about human sexuality, don't touch that, don't do this, don't do that, and use that as a mechanism. You're going to go to hell if you do that? In one sense, Charlotte, I feel really disappointed that I was correct that the world didn't end, because perhaps it should have been, but it may have been a better deal. Look at how messed up we are. I mean, I'm willing to talk about this stuff. I'm willing to say, look, Our problem is what we believe, and our beliefs are killing us. And this is why I think the LGBT movement is so important, because it's a forum for discussion. It's a forum to talk about human sexuality. And straight people, Venusian trisexuals, whoever you want to call yourself, should join in the dialogue as to what is sexuality, what is sensuality, and how does it fulfill our need to understand the projection of something beyond this life. We all know we're going to die, but we're constantly in denial about it. And so, again, maybe we have a process here that may lead to our understanding of what original sin is.
So what do you think we should be believing in?
Okay, as little as possible. I think, no, remember, when we take a trip somewhere, we always pack too much in the luggage and too much in the suitcase. So beliefs are like packing a suitcase. We should be open. We should travel light. We should be open to the experience, and that we should look at how do we discover the truth. Truth is discovered by your own experience of what you're going through. We as human beings, we know when we've done something wrong to hurt someone. It's only when there is some kind of mental aberration, a sociopath, a person so disconnected, and then we can't even explain that mystery, we have to understand, wait a minute, this is part of the learning curve. This is the part in which we have to understand what is history, what is the story, what is going on here. Remember, Charlotte, history is written by the winners, and they have their own point of view, and they want to cover up their inhumanity to get to be a winner. And in this culture, we have now come to the point where it's now all about winners and losers. And this is where a one age has come to an end, because we cannot go on with this kind of belief of that there are winners and losers in this world. If we don't see ourselves, and we don't think about human civilization and the psychology that has brought us to this idea of the characteristics of consciousness, this has all come out of beliefs that need to be jettisoned and drop the prejudice. So we're looking, in one sense, for a series, a new rites of passage here. We're looking, how do we purify ourselves in the ceremony of life? And we all have, if you really think about it, we all have a tendency to float toward mysticism. That's a clue as to our being here. We have another thing in terms of belief in superhuman figures. Look at all these action figures that kids buy and the stuff like that. That's nothing more than a projection of ancient ideas of heroic gods intervening in the course of human history. And then what happens is, in those narratives of winners and losers, then we create the conflicts between conservatives, liberals, and radical groups, all believing from the same group that they came from, and all struggling to become the authority. That's why Gore Vidal was correct. The greatest mistake human beings made, monotheism. Because it doesn't have any room to go anywhere but one way or the highway.
You seem to be making the statement that everything is a lie. Do you really believe that?
Yes, I do. I have come to understand that in my own journey. And again, going back to winners and losers, remember, the winners write history. Let me state it as a quote. The quote is this: there is no greater tragedy than the truth. We are in the process of coming to understand by questioning, is this a lie? And yes, when we look at history, when we go and really do our homework, we find out that the winners, the Christian movement, was perhaps one of the greatest setbacks for spirituality and human liberation. And this is why we're in a period, what we call the existentialist time. Existentialism is a very simple understanding. In order to know something, you have to lose it. And that's what I'm talking about. We have lost the truth, and we are living a lie. And this is where we need help to understand ourselves and to have the courage to move forward.